chips like, yeah, Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
So that was All Right by Kendrick Lamar. It is Francedi Rosario here with another podcast. And for today's podcast, we're going to be talking about Malafaï Kid Asante. So if you guys haven't heard, he basically got a letter from the Frederick Douglass. Yes, we all know who Frederick Douglass is. He died years ago. You know, he was one of the leaders of the abolitionist movement. He was a civil rights activist. And it's crazy how we are in the 21st century and Malafaï got this letter from him. And it's as if Frederick Douglass knew that Malafaï was going to be born and he knew the person he was going to become, what he was going to write, everything. So I have the letter here and I'm going to read it to y'all. So it was sent from Rochester, December 3rd, 1865, hundreds of years ago. So it was titled A Letter to My Fellow Black Brother. My thoughts on Afrocentricity. Dear Dr. Malafaï Kid Asante. He even knew his whole government. Like, everything. I'm getting very much, that's so Raven, you know, Raven Baxter. If you could gaze into the future. Okay, let me get into this. Hope all is well with you. You may not know who I am, but I'm pretty sure you heard about me in your social studies class or African heritage class. However, I'll go ahead and give some background about myself. I am Frederick Douglass, an escaped slave, author, public speaker, a leader in the abolitionist movement, and a civil rights activist. As a young slave, I learned to read and write, and also held many lessons to teach other enslaved Black people literacy through the use of the Bible. Furthermore, I work as an agent for the Massachusetts Anti-Slavery Society. I'm currently traveling the country holding anti-slavery and literacy lectures about the practices of slavery. As someone who was a slave and escaped through the act of pretending to be a sailor, I like to go around and educate those who aren't as educated. I've encountered many adults who aren't able to read or write. Therefore, I like to give them a hand so they can show their masters their intelligence. In 1852, I remember giving a speech in the North to an audience that was mostly white. In this speech, I wanted to highlight a Black person's consciousness and the power they have to contribute to this white society. I'm a religious person, hence I like to use the Bible as a friend to reference the unjustifications of slavery. I also gave a speech a couple years ago at the annual meeting in Massachusetts Anti-Slavery Society in Boston. I like to call it What the Man Wants. I wanted my audience to know that my Black brothers and sisters deserve justice and the right to vote, and that, quote, he has been a citizen just 3 times in the history of this government, and it has always been in time of trouble. In times of trouble, we are citizens. Shall we be citizens in war and aliens in peace? Would that be just? Our Black brothers and sisters are only considered Americans when America is in trouble. When there's a war, who is the first to be called? The Negro. Black people contribute to America's society, but we get no recognition and are still treated like savages just because our bodies are brown or black. The Civil War gave me a sense of urgency to strive and fight harder for our community. It took American hundreds of years to pass the 13th Amendment, and we thought that abolishment of slavery would fix things. However, the thought was incorrect. In your essay, you are going to ask your readers, are you down with overcoming oppression? I think us Black people ask each other that every day. We don't only want slavery to be abolished. We want the segregation and racism to stop. We want our Black brothers and sisters to stop being killed by the white oppressors and the government, because the most dangerous place Black people are seen is in a white person's imagination. White oppressors create this negative image of Black people that causes them to see every person of color as something and not someone, an object and not a person. Furthermore, quote, when Black people view themselves as centered and central in their own history, then they see themselves as agents, actors, and participants rather than as marginals on the periphery of political or economic experience. My understanding of this is that Afrocentricity doesn't necessarily mean that others need to see Africans in the center. It means Africans do. They don't need to worry about the perception others give them, but the perception they have of themselves. It saddens me writing this letter to you because I'll never meet you. I know you're confused and asking yourself, how in the world does the Frederick Douglass know who I am? I can see and predict things that no one else could. It also saddens me that hundreds of years later, Black people are still going through oppression. The declaration that offered, quote, all men are equal. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But where is liberty and happiness? Where is equality and justice towards those who are wrongfully incarcerated? Malafi, with this essay, you will teach people from the Black experience the importance of their skin color and their African heritage. This is important because some Black people tend to forget about their African heritage due to the quote-unquote dominance American culture has today. With agency and location, as stated by you, Black people are able to have the power to determine their character and life in America. You want to make it clear that African history didn't start since the transatlantic slave trade. It started beyond that. Even though I know that even in the 21st century, Black Americans are still getting wrongfully treated in society, I will continue to fight to the day I die for the justice of African Americans, where discrimination will not be present in America's democracy. Malafi, brother, I hope that when you get this in the near future, you know that the Frederick Douglass knows and believes in you to educate those in the relevance of Afrocentricity. I hope that the artists, activists, writers of your time make a difference with their music, artwork, words, and voice, because we will conquer that value and justice for our Black brothers and sisters, no matter how long it takes. Your fellow brother, F. Douglass. Y'all heard it here. The letter that Frederick Douglass wrote to Malafi Keed Asante. It's crazy. I'm shook. And overall, he just basically talks about how Afrocentricity is still relevant today in the 21st century in 2020. And the fight for equality towards the Black community is still going on. And it will not stop until the Black community gets their rights. This is Francady Rosario. Thanks for listening, and I'm signing off.